Morning. Man, I hope everybody's doing good today. You know, the Bible says they greeted each other with a brotherly, holy, heavenly kiss. So everybody get up. No, I'm not going to get you to do that. Just give somebody a wave, look around that says, hey, I'm just tickled to death that you are here today. It is so good to see you. And then the other thing is, if you didn't mean what you just said, then repent real quick so you'll hear from the Holy Spirit. But we're so glad that you are here today. If you are part of our online audience, we welcome you as well. And as always, we have our very own Dr. John Cazito, our right-hand man in the social media world of broadcast. That is 2025 today. We're so grateful to have him there. So if you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito. Be sure to say hello to one another. And we welcome you as part of our church today. And we're so glad that you have joined us. We trust and pray that God is going to speak to you today in spirit and in truth and in a way that will move our lives closer to Him. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin today. Father, as we come to you now, we're again grateful and thankful that you've given us this moment, these times, to just be able to pull back from the world, to be able to come together and to celebrate your love for us with one another, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But Lord, also that we might learn from your word. And Father, we're grateful today that you do have a word for each and every one of us, exactly where we are, exactly through our circumstances. And Lord, you know what we need. Today, Father, we pray that you truly will give us ears to hear what your word tells us. Lord, we ask that you would help the distractions to be low. We know there are many things on our hearts and minds. And Lord, sometimes, as a confession, sometimes those things consume us and they distract us from what we really, really need. So today, Lord, may your Holy Spirit be prominent in this place today and then help us to draw close to you. As always, Father, we pray if there's one that does not know you, Lord, I just pray that you would just convict their heart. I pray you give them courage to give their life to you, that today might truly be one of the greatest days of their lives as they begin a walk with you as a child of the King. So in all that we do, Father, every aspect of our worship, we pray that we will honor you today as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with me as we sing Holy, 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 number 2.
Thank you. This is unfailing love.
today we are here truly to praise Him. If you've got your Bible, go ahead, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Lamentations. I know that one's a little bit different. You are sitting there saying, I got to go back and dig out my sword drills from early day Sunday school, or I will need to go and rely on the index of the Bible. And if you got to do that, that's okay. I know what it is. We're all real spiritual around here, and you sit there and you're not real sure where it is, so you kind of flip through it, hoping you're going to see it real quick. You know, and then when you can't find it, you just go, like, so everybody around you thinks you got it. It's all right. Look at the index if you have to. This one's a tough one. You know, it's a little bit harder to find when it comes down to those particular passages in the Bible. I got a question to ask you this morning, and I'm pretty sure that I know the answer of it. But have you ever wished that you could hit the reset button on your life? You know, or not necessarily on your whole life, but there have been circumstances or situations. And yet maybe you woke up this morning and you were carrying the weight of yesterday's failures. Maybe you just had a bad day yesterday that's trying to carry itself into today. You know, maybe you woke up and you're carrying last week's disappointments. But you see how those things can start to build on us? And they can start to try to dictate who we are. Now, we have a choice. We can either allow those things to become tremendous stumbling blocks in our lives, or we can trust God to be exactly what He says He is in His Word. And I'm going to give you what He tells us each and every one, each and every day here in just a moment. You know, so many times we carry all these things into our life, maybe even years of regret. Maybe there was something that you did back a few years ago or a few decades ago or whatever it is that has set a pace or a tone for your life that's not a good one. I guarantee you that each and every one of us in this room today know somebody or have met somebody in our lives that, you know, that when you were talking to them about spiritual things or whatever, they had the attitude that, well, that's just, yeah, the Lord just can't love me because of what I did back then. Or the Lord can't use me because of all these different things. And you've heard it on some level before, people say that. And then you try to be the cheerleader and you try to encourage them. Maybe, and prayerfully, they listen to you with your encouragement, but most of the time they don't because they've been carrying that baggage for so long. Maybe you're sitting here today thinking, if only I could start over again or have a redo. It's hilarious because I still remember, I didn't actually grow up in the computer generation. I know I look like I'm in my 20s, but I'm not. And I didn't grow up in a computer generation. And one of the things that I learned, if you're like I am, sometimes you have a problem with that computer. And you've done everything that you can possibly do, and then you sought help from the help desk or whatever else. And remember what the first thing that they would always tell you to do was? Well, restart it, but how do you restart it? Turn it off and turn it back on again. Now, the frustrating part was, how many of y'all that usually worked? See, for me, it did. That was the frustrating part, was I was sitting there going through all that stuff, and all I'd do was start a restart, a reset, and that's often what we're looking for in life. And if that's you, I want you to understand that there is good news for you today. You can start over. There's a beautiful truth in the Scripture that we are going to look at today that that essentially provides us with the opportunity that we're looking for. Look with me, if you would, at the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3. I don't know if I gave you the chapter a minute ago. I said Lamentations, didn't I? And y'all are going, well, there's plenty of room in there. So I'll stall for a minute. Lamentations, chapter 3. If you looked it up in the index, you're at chapter 1. So you probably only have a page or two to go over, all right? So Lamentations, chapter 3, beginning with verse 22. We're only going to look at two verses today, but Lamentations 3, 22, beginning with 22, says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Amen. Let's pray. Father, You're good to us, and again, we pray that today we will heed the words of these scriptures. Lord, I pray that today, no matter where we are, Lord, if we find ourselves in the valleys of darkness, I pray that Lord, we will understand your scriptures today and your love for us and your mercy and your grace, that today is a new day. So, Father, we pray right now that you will help us to be receptive to your word. I pray that as your messenger, that you would use me to speak the words of truth that the Holy Spirit will use in the hearts and lives of everyone who will hear today. So, Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we look at this particular, and I like to call it beautiful truth that we find in God's word, that's the way it is with God. Every sunrise, think about it like this, every sunrise, every single day brings a new opportunity with God. Have you thought about it that way? That's mashing the reset button. I'm sure that you, like I, have been through days and you're like, Lord, that didn't go too well today. Yeah, whatever the circumstance may have been, you may have been mean and nasty, or somebody may have been mean and nasty to you. There's a plethora of things, and I guarantee you, that happen along the way. And at the end of the day, you sit back and you reflect, and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, this was not a good day as me being a representative of the Lord, and this is not a good day in my walk with Him. Well, there's good news if that's you. Tomorrow is a new day. And the word tells us that each new day brings fresh mercies from the Lord. Isn't that cool? I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, we're a little ways into today, but when you woke up this morning, God's mercies were new. I love to think about it in that way. I grew up around the rivers, and they had these little side tributaries where water would get into. And what would happen was, as the river would go down, the water would get stuck in there. And you know what happens when water stands or sets after a while? It gets stagnant. And you know what it's like when you leave the bread tie off of it? I'm probably preaching to somebody today. The bread gets stale. It gets tough. You don't want to eat it. It starts turning colors. It gets green. It gets moldy. But here's the thing. God's mercies in our lives are new, and they are fresh every day. What a great truth. In one of the Bible's darkest books, written during Jerusalem's darkest hours, we find one of the brightest promises of God in our lives, and that it is the fact that God's mercies are new every single morning. So let's think about these passages for a moment. See, Lamentations, you got to have a little bit of background. If you think about the word itself, Lamentations comes from the root word lament, okay? You see where that's coming from? In other words, this is kind of I would call it a wailing book, as it were, a crying out book. Lamentations was written either during or after the destruction of Jerusalem, and the prophet Jeremiah witnessed the city that he loved being completely reduced to rubble. The temple had been destroyed, and his people are carried off into exile. You think you had a bad day? What do you think about that day? I mean, this was widespread. This was a very, very dark time. Yet in the middle of this book of mourning, in the middle of this crying out, and we know what that's like. We've either been there before or had somebody in our lives that have lamented. They have cried out. Because they're broken in heart, they're broken in spirit, and they are just simply crying out to God. And in the middle of this book of mourning, in the middle of this lamenting, we find these words of what I would like to call extraordinary hope. In the middle of all the wailing, sometimes I look at it and I hear and I see people that I know that God is doing some incredible things in their lives. I see people who have very, very difficult situations, and yet they may be explaining or talking about those difficult situations, but the bottom line is that when it comes down to it, have you ever seen somebody switch gears on you? When they're talking about their situations and circumstances in life, and then all of a sudden comes the conjunction. But God is good. And all the time, God is good. And God is faithful. So all of a sudden, they go from the lament to the praising of the Lord, who provides their source of hope, who provides their source of strength. So in the middle of Lamentations, all of a sudden, we get this passage of great hope. And it's significant that this promise comes not from a mountaintop experience. Man, it is easy to praise the Lord when you're on the top of the mountain, isn't it? You know, it is so simple when you sit back and say, man, life is good, my family's good, my job's good, my yard's good, everything's good. It's easy to praise the Lord in the middle of that and in the midst of it. But let me tell you, when the day is not good, when there's problems with family, when there's problems at work, and all, by the way, if you've noticed it, it all seems like those things happen all at once, doesn't it? You're trying to deal with a bunch of different things. And you get in these deep, dark places. You get in these deep, dark recesses. And sometimes those deep, dark recesses are within your heart, okay? It's how we view the circumstances. Perspective means a lot. I have loved to use this aviation term because it's also a spiritual term, and you've heard me use it before. Attitude will determine altitude, okay? Now, if you're a flyer, you know, Bill knew exactly what I was talking about. When you talk about the attitude of an airplane will determine its altitude. Yeah, if you get the wing at the right attitude, the right pitch, then the plane is going to climb with no problem. The same holds true with you and I. Our attitude towards our circumstances will determine our altitude. How are we going to be? Are we on those mountaintops? You know what? A lot of times we find ourselves more so in the valleys than we do on the mountaintops. So, like I said, I want you to understand that the significance of the promise that we're looking at in the book of Lamentations today doesn't come at a mountaintop experience. It comes when it seems like Jerusalem has completely fallen apart and everything is going wrong. You ever had those days when you said, I don't think anything went right today? You ever had those? Oh, sure, all of us have, okay? So it's not from the mountaintop experience, but from the valley of despair that we see this promise. See, God's new mercies aren't just for the good days. Did you hear me? God's mercies are not just for the good days. They're especially for the broken ones. They are especially when we struggle. They are especially when we don't have any clue what God's got going on. You ever have those moments in your life? Have you ever prayed that prayer where you sat back and said, Lord, I have no clue what you're doing. A, I'm confused. B, I don't like it. You ever been there? And yet, listen, it's okay for you to carry that to God, but I will make you yet another biblical promise that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. Even those dark valleys will serve a purpose in your life. But God is giving us something here. He is saying, as He has pointed out in black and white, when you walk through the valley of darkness, you don't walk through it alone. And no matter what happens and what takes place, there are better days that are coming. And often when I think about this, and sometimes people say, well, you know what? I don't know exactly what God promises in all situations, but I know He's promised better days. I think about those that are in the Lord's presence who don't have bad days anymore. I think about those like our very own Roger who don't have bad days anymore. They're all good days. I think about folks that have been near and dear to me that have gone on to the other side. My dad's not having a bad day today. Yeah, I think about all those wonderful, wonderful aspects of it. But the Lord says this, you know, forget about what happened yesterday. My mercies for you are new. They're fresh today. We got to forget the things. We learned that in the scriptures, and we even talked about it a few weeks ago. You have to let go of the things that are behind you and press forward, press toward the mark of the high calling. So I want to give you a couple of things. There's three truths about God's new mercies. That's what we're dwelling on today, God's new mercies. First of all, And according to our scripture, they are rooted in God's character. To me, I think this is huge. There have been times in my life, and there have been things that have taken place in my life that when it could have gone either way, when I've looked at something somebody has said, or when I have looked at a theological viewpoint, you know, what the final straw that made me understand was simply this. I would ask myself, is what is being told to me, or is this theological standpoint or theological viewpoint, is it in the character of God? Would God, is this his character? Now, listen, I believe with all of my heart that God is a God of love. I believe with all of my heart that God desires to save. He is that big grandpa you can crawl up in his lap and put your arms around him. But God is also a God of judgment. Are you hearing me? The same God that will love you is the same one that will spank your tail. Where are my grandmas and grandpas that have spanked a few grandbabies' tails before along the way? Yeah. Yeah. You know why? That's because they love you. You love them enough to not see them go down a bad road, to not see them go down a road of struggle. So what we're talking about today, and this hope and this promise, is rooted in God's character. It's who he is. In the first part of verse 22, it says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Now, the Hebrew word for mercies here is God's covenant love. That's what it's speaking about. His steadfast faithfulness. You know, this isn't an emotional sentiment that changes with circumstances. How many times and how many years have we preached about the difference between circumstantial faith? You know, is who we are in the Lord change based on our ever-changing circumstances? If that's the case, that means when you have a bad day, you're doubting God, you're questioning God, you're doing all these different things. And some of you just went, Oh, because that's been me. You know what? Sometimes we have to be a little bit more like Job and sit back and say, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All of us have been on mountaintops before, and we have enjoyed the mountaintop experiences. But have you ever noticed the mountaintops don't seem to be long? And sometimes what happens is next day or week or month or year, we find ourselves in the valley. We certainly would like to get back to the mountaintop. But let me tell you this, I've learned in my lifetime that I learn more from the valley than I learn from the mountaintop. And boy, sometimes those are tough, tough lessons for us to understand. You know, his mercies, steadfast. It's not an emotional sentiment, okay? It doesn't change with our circumstances. This is God's unchanging, and hear me today. This is God's unchanging. Say unchanging with me. Unchanging. God's unchanging commitment to his people. It hasn't changed since Jesus walked the earth, and it is not going to change now or ever. That's a promise that he gives us. Man, what a promise. We're not consumed by our failures. How many times have we allowed our failures to define who we are? And we've done it sometimes under piety. Well, the Lord just, I don't deserve the Lord. No, you don't, but neither does anybody else. None of us deserve it. It is by his grace that he puts upon us and by his mercies. Listen, you know, we can't be consumed by our failures. We can't be consumed by our circumstances or our past, because God's mercies are what hold us. God's mercies are what carries us. How do you define mercy? Let me give you a simple term of what mercy means. Mercy means not getting what you deserve. You know what? Thanks be to God, I don't get what I deserve. But his mercies, and his mercies, his not getting what we deserve, is fresh and it's new every single day. I can't remember. Maybe it was a Dunkin' Donut commercial. Y'all remember that? They make their donuts fresh every day. Remember, the guy would come in and said, it's time to make the donuts. Every single day he would come in, and it was one of them commercials that he actually ran into himself coming out and going in. Time to make the donuts. Every single day, God provides a fresh batch of donuts. He provides a fresh patch of mercy in your life and in my life. And we cannot allow failures from the past to define who we are or rob us of what God has in store for us for the day. Do you hear me? I gotta preach to you today like a pastor. Here's why. Because most of the time, that's what holds people back from being what God wants them to be. Do not allow that. So one of the things we learned from this passage is that, you know, as far as truths about God, those truths and His mercies are rooted in God's character. The second thing is that they are absolutely reliable. Also, in verse 22, the second part of verse 22 says, because His compassions fail not. And oh, you know what I thought to myself? I thought that should be a song. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, it is a song. You remember singing that song? I believe, if I'm correct, and you music people can correct me, the song is entitled, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And basically, see, that's why hymns are cool. They're chock full of theology. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Where do you think that the inspiration from that came from? Right here in the book of Lamentations. And that somebody who penned that song has experienced it to the point where it has become so real to them about God's faithfulness and God's mercies. And oh, they are absolutely 100% reliable because His compassions fail not, according to verse 22. The phrase fail not is an absolute. Not they seldom fail, not that they, the phrase fail not doesn't mean they rarely fail. It means they never fail. 100%. God's compassion has a 100% success rate. That's a pretty good success rate, wouldn't you say? If you were betting on the odds, I'd bet on 100%. A 100% success rate. It never runs out. It is never exhausted. It is never depleted. Think about that for just a minute. When you sit back and think, Lord, it seems to me like I come to You every day and I ask You to fill my tank. I remember a guy one time that actually, story was told of the guy that made that prayer every day, Lord, fill my tank, Lord, fill my tank. And then he kept saying that, and then finally one of the brothers said, Lord, don't fill his tank, just give him a new, bigger one. That's what he said to him. He said, just give him a new, bigger one. But you know what? The bottom line is simply this. These things never get exhausted. So when you sit back and say, Lord, it seems like I come to You all the time for these new, fresh mercies, He goes, that's because I got fresh, new mercies for You every day. Every single day. You know, I remember years ago, as a person who wears contact lenses, you'd have to take them things out every night, and you'd have to put them in this thing. Or at one point in time, you'd kind of cook them, I guess is the best way to say it. You'd put them in this thing, and it boiled them or something. Then they had all these different methods, but you'd wear those contact lenses. My first pair, I remember, I wore them for like a year. Then it got to where it was like 6 months. And then they started getting to where they had daily wear. And I still have trouble wrapping my head around the fact that I put a set of contact lenses in my eyes every morning, and every night I take them out and throw them in the garbage. And the next morning when I get up, I open a fresh, clean pack of contact lenses that feel great. They don't have no protein buildup on them. They're not blurry. They're brand new every single day. And when I think about God's mercies, that's exactly what He's telling us. Yesterday is gone. My mercies for you today are new. They don't run out. They don't get exhausted. They don't get depleted. Think about that. In all of human histories, God's compassions have never failed a single person who turned to Him. Think about it. Is that you? Are you turning to Him? Third thing we see is that they are, in verse 23, tells us that they are renewed daily. First part of verse 23, it says, they are new every morning. Every single morning, God's mercies, His mercy counter resets. Isn't that great? Think about it for a minute. Yesterday's grace is not sufficient for today. Did you hear me? Let me say that again. Yesterday's grace is not sufficient for today. But God doesn't expect you to live today on yesterday's provision of grace. He gives it to us fresh. Fresh mercy for fresh challenges. You know what this means? Now here's where the rubber starts to meet the road. What this means is your past doesn't disqualify you from today's blessings. Did you hear me good? Did you hear me online? Your past does not disqualify you from today's blessings. I hope and pray that that means a bunch for a lot of people who are hearing me today. You got brand new fresh mercies. Oh, by the way, yesterday's failure doesn't determine today's potential. Did you get that? You ever had those bad days when you're like, man, that didn't work? You ever had them days when it seems like, yeah, and we're worried about what's taking place. We're worried about what people are thinking or saying or feeling or believing. They're beginning to wonder whether or not we're a good leader. They begin to wonder whether or not we're a good boss. They begin to wonder about all these things. And yes, maybe there were some failures, but yesterday's failures do not determine today's potential. Today is a new day. Amen. This morning's struggle can be met with this morning's grace. Let me give that to you again. This morning's struggle, see, we're in today now. This morning's struggle can be met with the grace that was given this morning. The fresh grace, the new grace, the God's grace that never fails. You see, the foundation of God's grace is simply this: faithfulness. Faithfulness. You have to know where it comes from. What is it says in verse 23? Great is your faithfulness. Gee, that sounds like another song too, doesn't it? Kind of goes right on in with the one we were talking about before, because it's the same song. Great is thy faithfulness. See, God's faithfulness is the foundation of everything else. He is faithful to forgive. He is faithful to restore. He is faithful to provide what we need for each and every single day. And his track record is perfect. Perfect. Do you really think that you are the only person in the world that is not going to see God's 100% grace in your life? That you're not going to see God's provision in your life? You think that God has answered that prayer for everybody else in the world and on the planet except for you? Think again. Nope. It is for you. He knows you by name. Now, so many times, you know, in two verses, there is such a theological plethora of information, but yet we still have to apply it. You know, we can sit back and know the facts. I had an interesting thing happen to me Friday. Friday was kind of an unusual day because I didn't have a lot of stuff to do. I didn't have any place to be or anything like that. So I decided at lunch, you know, Blake and Jana were at work. I decided at lunch, I said, I'm gonna go down to the coffee shop and I'm going to have me a cup of coffee and lunch. I'm going to take my lunch over there. I'm going to have lunch and a cup of coffee, and I'm just going to, you know, spend some time and study. It's a little bit different, you know. It was a nice day. I mean, it was a pretty day Friday, and so I went to this coffee shop. I was sitting outside, and, you know, I had my lunch, and, yeah, I'd spent some time, you know, reading the Bible, and, yeah, I had it out there with me, and then a fella came out there. More people had started to arrive, and they were sitting at the chairs, and a fella walks out, and he says, you know, he said, well, he said, it's kind of full out here. And he said, you sitting at this table by yourself, do you mind if I join you? And me, being the introvert that I am, said, what are y'all laughing at? You don't think I'm introverted? I said, sure, have a seat. So he pulls up a chair. And by the way, I want you to remember his name. His name's David. Because David and I, he asked me, he says, are you a student of the Bible? I said, I am. And we begin to have a theological discussion. Now, I will tell you this. He's one of those guys that's a lot smarter than me. Hold that thought for just a minute. pretty intellectual guy. He's a guy that's got a lot of Bible knowledge. And man, we had a good time talking about what the Lord has done in our lives. He testified to how God had made things happen in his life. We're just having a great celebration. For probably about an hour, David and I talked. And then when it came time, he's like, oh, I got to go. He said, my wife's probably thinking I've been in an accident or something because I just came for a cup of coffee and I've been here for an hour. I said, I understand that. And I said, but you know, let me tell you something, David. I said, you know, it made my day to talk to a brother in the Lord. And I said this, I said, if I don't get to see you again on this earth, I'm glad I'm going to get to see you when I get to heaven. And then you know what he said? Well, I hope so. I said, what? I said, what do you mean you hope so? I said, dog, you and I just sat there and had a discussion. You really just laid out everything to me about salvation. You talked to me about how God has been working in your life and you hope you're going to make it there? No. I said, David, yeah. I said, you believe what the Bible says, don't you? He said, yes. I said, well, how about the scripture that says, for whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Not might be saved, not hope to be saved, you will be saved, and you can take assurance in that. Well, I hope so. I said, brother, let me tell you something. I said, I've known you for about an hour, but you need to let some of that head knowledge trickle down into heart knowledge. I said, you got the tough part of it licked. You're saved by grace. You know what grace is. You can define it better than me. Through faith. You have faith. You just testified to it. You are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourself. It is a gift of God. You even said that. Not of works. You said that too. Lest any man should boast. So what's the problem? Now, I said, I want you to remember David, because I'm buying the next round of coffee. David and I are going to talk again. Wonderful guy. So y'all pray for him. Pray that the head knowledge trickles down to the heart knowledge. So how do we apply? See, that's what I was talking about. How do we apply what we know up here to our lives? How do we take today's scriptures that we've learned in Lamentations and apply them to our lives? Here's where, like I say, the rubber meets the road. Here's how you can interact in your life with what we're learning from the Word today. First of all, I'm going to give you a couple of them. If you're a note taker, number one is for the guilt-ridden. If you are carrying guilt from past mistakes, God's new mercies mean your slate is wiped clean each morning. Did you hear me? Your slate is wiped clean each morning. Confess your sin to the Father. Receive His forgiveness and step into today's fresh start. You get a do-over. You get to hit the reset button. Think about it for a moment. Too many people that God loves and knows and really wants to use are bound up so tight by Satan because of guilt, because of things they have done in the past. And I have even talked to people whom I've said to them before, have you confessed this sin to the Father? Yes, I have. Do you believe that God forgives sins? Yes, I do. Then what's your problem? Then God's forgiven you. He's thrown it as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Why do you keep remembering it? You are arrogant. Oh, that gets their attention. What do you mean I'm arrogant? I said, well, you're saying that you just confessed to me that God will forgive you. You said that. That God is able and will forgive you. But you're telling me you can't forgive yourself. And I said, you're saying you have a higher standard than God does, and that is the height and definition of arrogance. Wouldn't you agree? If God's forgiven you, you need to forgive you. You can't keep letting those past things keep you from God's fresh new mercies every day of your life. And boy, I am so thankful for that. That's number one. I could do a whole sermon on that, but I'm not. I'm running out of time. The second thing, for the discouraged, if discouragement has settled over your life like some fog, remember that discouragement is often yesterday's disappointments projecting into today. Did you hear that? Yesterday's disappointments projecting into today. God's new mercies break that cycle. Are you discouraged? God's giving you new mercies today to break that cycle. Listen, I know it comes. Listen, we've all been discouraged at some point along the way. God's mercies will break that cycle. Number three, for the overwhelmed. Don't raise your hands, but we probably got some overwhelmed people out here today. There's a lot going on in life. There's some of you, you're spinning plates like on the Tonight Show. Remember that? You're trying to keep all these things going. And plates are starting to crash to the ground. And you're starting to lose. You are overwhelmed. If life feels like it's too much to handle, you're not expected to carry tomorrow's burdens with today's strength. Have you ever noticed that most of the time what we're overwhelmed about is something about tomorrow and not necessarily today? Well, you're not supposed to carry tomorrow's burdens for today. God gives you strength for the day. Today's mercy is sufficient for today's needs. See, we don't live for the day, do we? One of the things that I learned a long time ago, and it was a huge breakthrough in my life, is this. I had times in my life where I was too busy trying to get planned for tomorrow that never would come. And I never took the time to enjoy today that God gave me. And you know what I learned? You're not promised tomorrow. And if you spend all of your time today trying to prepare for tomorrow, then you have never lived for today. You have never stopped to smell the roses. Y'all ever used or heard that expression? I'm sure you have. And I'm sure every one of us know exactly what that means. Every now and then, try not to beat the GPS time to your destination. Stop at the big strawberry and get some ice cream. Every now and then, you got to slow down. Every now and then, you got to look around you because you'll be surprised what you've missed that's right in front of your face because you haven't lived for today. You know what? God gave us today. He didn't give us tomorrow. So what are we going to do with today? If you are overwhelmed, remember, today's mercy is sufficient for today's need. Now, don't get me wrong. The guy asked me one time, he said, well, you know, I worry about my retirement. Does that mean that I shouldn't, you know, put money into my retirement? No, that's not what I said. Not a bit. I'm going to get you an appointment with David Bowman, man. You are all messed up. That is not what I'm talking about. But folks, we are too busy trying to live for tomorrow that we may never get to. I have known people in my life that lived like paupers that died millionaires because they were afraid to spend a dollar today. And you know what happened? Their kids fought over their money. I know what y'all are saying. I ain't gonna fight over mine. I'm gonna spend it all. Now listen, enjoy the day God has given you. That when you go to bed at night and you put your head on the pillow, you say, Lord, thank you. Today was a really cool day. Yeah, and thank you for your graces and your mercy. Maybe today, maybe tonight you'll put your head on a pillow and say, Lord, today wasn't that good of a day, but I'm thanks be to God, tomorrow's a new day and your mercies are fresh and new and we'll start all over again. Don't be overwhelmed. Satan wants you to be overwhelmed. And I like this big theological answer for the fourth one that I'm going to give you. This one's for the stuck. That's a good theological term, isn't it? For the stuck. You know, things, I've always said this, things usually get stuck right before they fall off. All right? If you're stuck today, no matter what the situation is, if you feel trapped by your circumstances, or if you feel trapped by your past, new mercies means new possibilities. Did you get that? New mercies means new possibilities. God specializes in making ways where there seems to be no way. I hope and pray that you have experienced that in your life. You know what? We can sit back and we can cry about the way things used to be, or we can realize that God's mercies are new every day, and that He still has some great things and incredible things planned for us. I'm talking about personally. In life, you know, that's the interesting thing. It's that way in our life. It's that way in our church. We've seen bigger days in our church, haven't we? We've seen different things in our church that we can sit back and cry about it, and we can try to hold on to what it used to be, or we can experience God's fresh new mercies every day, and we can see it happen again. We can say, God, let me see you do something great and incredible one more time. Before I see you, and He will. 100% guarantee. 100%. So for the stuck, if you feel trapped by those circumstances, God specializes in making ways where there are, or where there seem to be, no ways at all. Don't be stuck. So how do we live in light of the new mercies? Just a couple of quick things. Number one, start each day with gratitude. We are living today in the most ungrateful nation that I have ever experienced in my life. Would you agree with me? We're just mean and nasty towards each other. We're not grateful for the things that not only God has done, but the things that others have done for us. Start each day with gratitude. Before checking your phone or before dwelling on your problems, acknowledge God's fresh provision of mercy for the day. Yeah, I like to do that every day when I get up. Listen, I'm not always on my hands and knees at the altar or by my bed or whatever. I pray without ceasing. You know, when I get up out of bed, I'm praying, Lord, watch over my boy, and Lord, watch over my wife, and keep them safe, and keep them healthy, and do some incredible things in their lives today. While I'm taking a shower, I'm praying for people in our church. I'm praying for your mama, Mark, and that's how it hits me, those things that come about. I'm praying for each and every one of y'all. I'm praying for Miss Don Reed. His days are going to be difficult for her. And that's how I roll with those things. And I'm like, God, let them experience your new mercies each and every day. Before getting involved in the whole world, start each day with gratitude. When you're thankful, it changes a lot about you, don't you? When you're truly grateful. You ever had somebody do something, or you've done something for somebody and you knew they were truly grateful for it? Let me ask you the opposite question. Have you ever done something for somebody and you knew that they were not grateful for it? Which one are you more apt to replicate? You're a whole lot more apt to replicate the person who was gracious, who was grateful, who was thankful for what you did in their life. We need to be that way with people. Second, we need to practice daily forgiveness. I can't really get into this one in depth because we ain't got time. But you know what I'm talking about. We need to practice daily forgiveness. Just as God offers new mercies, we need to extend others those mercies and His forgiveness as well. That's not easy to do for enemies, is it? There's a lot of people you don't want to forgive. There's a lot of people that you pray that David prayer for. Lord, don't even kill them. Send them alive to hell. That's what David prayed. Look at it, Psalm 55. Lord, listen, lay hold of them. Send them, don't even kill them. Send them alive to hell. You have prayed those kind of prayers for those people in your life. And the Lord's sitting there going, come on. See, that's the same thing that He did with David. Because he looked at David and he goes, man, you're acting like, you are acting like your enemies are God. Yeah, oh, wait a minute, don't go getting spiritual amnesia on me. Who took care of you when you were in the wilderness? Who took care of you when you were running with Saul? Who took care of you when you messed up with Bathsheba? Whoa, all of a sudden that puts a little different spin on it. And the Lord says this, we need to extend to others as has been extended to us. And that includes forgiveness, grace, mercy. Are we somebody that when others see coming, they want to see us because we've been good and kind and wholesome? Or when they see you, do they say, well, that's that old jackleg over there. He certainly don't act like a Christian person out in public like he does in church. He's singing Standing on the Promises, but I can tell you some things about his life. I can tell you some things about how he treats people. Listen, by the way, last time I checked, nobody's perfect. Another message for another day. You got to clean your own backyard before you can clean somebody else's. Practice daily forgiveness. That's number two. Number three, let go of yesterday's defeats. You got to do that. Don't carry what God has already forgiven you of and let go. We keep going back to God saying, God, remember that thing I asked you to forgive me of? And God goes, no, what are you talking about? Not because he has a bad memory, but because he's forgiven you. Quit reminding him and quit reminding yourself. Because let me tell you something that's really going to make you mad. Guess who's doing that to you? Satan. He is the one whispering in your ear. He is the one reminding you of the things you did in the past. You need to remind Satan when he does that yes, I did that in the past. I confessed it to the Father. It has been forgiven. So Satan, you can take a long walk on a short pier because I have experienced the forgiveness of the Father. And I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to let you jack my day up. So hit the bricks. You got to do that. Let go of yesterday's defeats. Don't carry what God's already forgiven you of. Number four, approach challenges with hope. We like to use different terms. There's pessimist and there's optimist. The glass is half full or the glass is half empty. Which one are you? Don't answer that question. Man, I know some people in my life that there ain't nothing ever gone right. The glass is not only half empty, it is evaporating quickly. There's a hole in the bottom of it. It's running out. We got to get blah, blah. Hey, is that you? One of our beloved church members that's gone to heaven used to be that way, and we used to talk about those things. I'm like, you are the most negative person I've ever seen in my life. Come on now. Well, I don't think I'm a negative person. I'm like, you don't? I mean, you need to hang out with a different crowd. You need to pump up a little bit. You need to perk up. You need to have some encouragement. You need to see some victory. You need to be that optimistic person. Yeah. Sometimes people are, sometimes you laugh at their optimism. Yeah. Guy gets sideswiped. The whole side of the car is caved in. He's looking at it going, oh, that'll buff out. That'll be no problem. That ain't going to buff out. But that's the way they are. We need to approach challenges with hope. We can either sit back and cry over the past, or we can thank God for today and the fact that he still wants to do something good, and we can take the challenge and say, Lord, you are the one who provides the hope. Lord, this is what you want. What are we going to do? Number five, today's struggles can be met with today's grace. That speaks for itself. The struggles for today can be met with the portion of grace that God has given us for the day. Friend, I want to tell you today, you're not stuck. You're not hopeless. You're not beyond redemption. Every morning, the God of the universe looks at you with fresh love and says, today we start again. Do you understand me? Today, we start again. Yesterday is gone. We're not promised tomorrow. But today, we're going to start over and try again. I've had some teachers in my life that had the patience of Job. We've got some good ones in here. I'm not talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about teachers. I mean, I'll tell you right now, when I was in the fourth grade, I struggled with multiplication. You know why I struggled with it? Because I felt like if I looked the other way, it would go away. That doesn't happen. You have to use multiplication every day. You might not use it. Yeah, hey, listen, I made it through yesterday, another successful day without having to use algebra, but I will use addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division every single day. And I still remember my fourth grade teacher. She was a big woman. And she got on to me like she was my mama. You could do that back then. And I remember her keeping me in from recess. She walked over there and she kind of would flop down in her chair. She had one of them rolling chairs that would, and she'd go rolling back. She said, "We're going to work on this math." But you know what? She didn't yell at me. She said, "Today's a new day. Let me help you." And she sat down with me and we went over it. And within the next few weeks, I went from an F, yes, I know what those look like on a grade card. I went from an F to an A. You know why? Because I had a new start. Somebody to care. And that's what the Lord's saying to each and every one of us. Today, we start again. It's a new day. Yesterday might have been a bad day, but we're looking for a better one today. Yesterday might have been a good day, so let's try to look for another good one. But whatever it is, today. Listen, if this was the last day that you could spend on this earth, are you living it the same way now that you would if you didn't know that information? Are you treating people the same way that you would? You know, I've said this so many times, it's been refreshing in a way that nobody likes to lose loved ones. That's hard. But you know what I said? I said, when I've had a chance to share, to tell my story with other people in times of grief, I said, you know what? The thing about it is, when my dad went to heaven, there was nothing. I don't sit back and say, I wish I'd have said this. I wish I would have done that. I wish we would have had a better relationship. I don't say any of that. You know why? Because we did it while we were alive. And that brings a great peace that most people don't know. I said, yeah, I know where he is. I miss him. Makes me mad that he's better off than I am right now. He's enjoying life. He's enjoying eternity. We don't call it life. It's eternity there. But you know what? Before long, I'm going to be there too. Are you living today as if it was your last day? How do you know that you are? Ask yourself, am I living today like tonight when I close my eyes, I will never open them again? Have I treated people in a manner that the Lord says that I should? Have I loved them? Have I cared for them? Have I shown grace and compassion and forgiveness and all these things? Have I done those things? Or would I be sitting back going, I wish I would have done it differently. Today is the time to do it because today is a new start. His mercies are new this morning. They will be new tomorrow morning. They were new when you were at your worst, and they will be new when you are at your best. This is not based on your performance. It's based on His character, and His character doesn't change. Whatever you brought with you today, shame, fear, disappointment, weariness, anxiety, know that God responds the same way by saying this, "My mercies are new for you this morning. Great is my faithfulness to you." The question isn't whether God's mercies are available. The question is, will you receive them? They're available to all of us. Will you receive His mercies today? I hope and trust and pray that that God has spoken to your heart today in a fashion that moves you closer to Him. Maybe it's the shaking you. Brad, you guys come on up. I'm already behind and getting behinder. But hey, God's mercies for you. Are you acknowledging them this morning? Look outside, man. It's an incredible day, isn't it? And God allowed us to experience it. So today, He's giving us ample supply of what we need to be all that He wants us to be. Not only for us, but for those in our lives. Maybe today you have no clue what I'm talking about. Maybe you're just sucked up in all this. Listen, first of all, you know, daddies take care of their babies, don't they? Daddies and mamas. You know, if a fire alarm went off and you ran into a building where your child was in there for school, who you gonna grab? Come on. You gonna grab your child, right? The father takes care of his children, and he knows them by name. That's the cool thing. So listen, if you're in, have you trusted Jesus? Does he call you by name? Like my buddy, do you just have a head knowledge or do you have a heart knowledge? Have you said, Lord, yes, I believe. You know what? I'm trusting. I'm turning my life over to you. I'm asking you to forgive my sins and take my life. He'll do that. And he'll watch over you. Listen, if you don't have him, you don't have his mercies for the day. That's for his children. If you need Jesus today, whatever you're doing right now, you can call on him by simply saying, Father in heaven, I know I'm a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior. Forgive my sins and save my soul. And help me, Lord, to live like a child of the King. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you did that, meant it with all of your heart, and you gave your life to Him, today's a great day. The saints in heaven are rejoicing. It's a cool day. We want to rejoice with you as well. Listen, if you trusted Christ, let us know. I promise it's not going to be bad. I know people are scared to death to come up in front of people. Don't look at them. Listen, I have to look at y'all all the time. You know, if you come this way, you're looking that way. You don't have to look at nobody. Brad will even move. He'll get out of your way if you need to. Listen, just let us know. We want to help you start that walk with Christ, that discipleship. Okay, how about today, a lot of us who just got a kick in the pants, or maybe some sore toes, because we've kind of taken advantage of or dispelled or displaced God's mercies for us each and every day. The Lord says, I'm giving you another chance, just like always. Today is a new day. You need this altar, it's here. If you need me, I am here. Whatever it is that the Lord's done in your heart today, settle it with Him as the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. As we stand and sing together, number 315, there's room at the cross.
Have found Him a friend.
have turned from the sins they have sinned. The Savior's still waits to open the gates and welcome us.
As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, as you spend these few moments left in the Lord's house with the Lord today, can you leave this place saying that I have truly addressed what the Lord has placed in my heart, whether positive or negative, whether good or bad? Have you dealt with Him in a way that when you go out of here, you will do so with peace that only He can provide? I pray that you have. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, you're truly good to us, and we're so grateful that we have these times and these moments that we can worship you by giving back to you the tithe and the offering, that which you've richly blessed us with. Father, right now I pray that as we do so, that our gift would be pleasing in your sight. We pray for knowledge on the best way to utilize. Help us to be good stewards of what's yours as a church. And then, Lord, help us to see your blessing as a giver. May you bless the gift and the giver as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Man, thank you, Jim and Amy. Y'all caught those, didn't you? The sweet by and by, and what a day that will be. Fantastic job, man. What a blessing. Let me give you a couple things, then we'll get you out of here. Just so you know, we've got quite a few birthdays and anniversaries coming up this week. As far as birthdays, Aaron McFadden, that is Jimmy and Debbie's daughter, will be celebrating a birthday tomorrow. Then this coming Wednesday, Dolores Serwich, she's back there. There she is. There's Dolores. She's having a birthday coming up on Wednesday. And then on Saturday, Jonathan Fondo will be celebrating a birthday. Not only do we have a lot of birthdays this coming week, but we have a lot of anniversaries as well. So on Monday, Susan and Tony Wood will be celebrating an anniversary. I thought I saw Susan there somewhere a minute ago. Okay, Susan and Tony are having an anniversary tomorrow. Then on Wednesday, Dave and Dina Smith will celebrate an anniversary, as well as Steve and Mari Kelly coming up this coming Wednesday. So congratulations to you guys. And then on Friday, our newest additions, Sandra and Marty Chapman, will be celebrating an anniversary on Friday. So be sure to give them some loving. And like I said, they all take cash, even though we're in a society. But at any rate, be sure to let them know how much you love them and appreciate them. A lot of stuff that's getting ready to start back up as we come out of summer and start to head into fall. We won't have adult Bible study tonight, okay, because it is our holiday weekend. So you want to keep that in mind. Also, the office will be closed tomorrow for Labor Day holiday. So if you need anything, obviously you guys know how to get a hold of us. And even if you call the church, you're still going to get us anyway because of the way the phone system works. But y'all know how to get us if you need us. Just a couple things. Ladies Connections monthly meeting is going to be on September the 3rd at 4 o'clock in FLC 116. So that's coming up this week. Also, the Ladies Monthly Breakfast, that is going to be on September the 11th at 9 a.m. at Cagney's on Friendly. As always, if you have any questions, you can talk to, I think, Mari and Sylvia. Sylvia and Mari about those two items. Now, here's the stuff that's coming at you quick that's a little bit different, so tune your ears in a little bit more. Our annual picnic is going to be, is that next Sunday? That's next Sunday, isn't it? Next Sunday, the 7th, at Triad Park in Colfax. There is a sign-up sheet in the narthex. If you would, just sign up. That lets us know how many to prepare for. The church always provides hamburgers and hot dogs, and we bring sides and desserts. But you'll hear a little bit more about that. It's going to be at Triad Park at the Shelter 4, I believe, isn't it?
Six.
I was just testing you. You passed. Shelter 6, when you go in, just ease around to the left, and then you'll see it up to the right. But we'll let you know a little bit more about that next week. Also, up this coming week, we've got our bi-monthly blood drive on the 9th. Actually, it will be the following week, but it's on the 9th from 2:30 to 6:45. Keep in mind, Awana starts back up on 9:14 as well. That's 5:30 to 6:30. We could always take some volunteers. If you'd like to volunteer, you can see Jana about that. So make a note of that. Then also, my D-Life class and Steve's D-Life class are starting up again. Mine on the 14th, Steve's on the 15th. Mine's on Sunday, Steve's is on Monday. So those are in their respective places. So if you have any questions about that, you can talk to me or Steve. We'll get you lined up. We have a deacons meeting. If you're a deacon, be sure to mark down a deacons meeting. Also on 9:14 at 1:30 in the Family Life Center, FLC 116, which is the choir room. Now, like I said, I've said 1:30 because y'all are going, man, 1:30, that gives you time to eat and then come back here before you either have to be back or something else. But we need to meet. There's not really another time that we know of. We can talk about that as well. But we need to get our deacons back up and rolling as we go forward. So this is really about a planning meeting of how we're going to continue to go forward with our deacon ministry. So that's 9:14 as well, 1:30 FLC 116. Also, as just to give you an upfront, our 2026 Cuba team is going to be there February 26th through March the 6th. Now, if the Lord has led you to be a part of this team, you need to let me know fast, okay? People say, well, I got to pray about it. Pray fast. The Lord answers fast. But we will need to have your money and all your information by the first or second week in November, because Cuba, it sounds weird, they shut down pretty much from Thanksgiving to the end of the year. We go on religious visas, and they take 3 months to get through the Cuban government. So that's the reason why that deadline is like it is. So if the Lord has led you in that regard, please talk to me. Please see me, and we'll get you in line and on the notification situation. Now, there's also a missions, it's kind of like a missions conference that's coming up. It's put on by our Piedmont Association. That is going to be October the 11th and 12th, okay? I'm going to have a paper. I forgot it. It's in my office. But the way they register for that is there's a barcode, and we can help you with that. You just take your phone and put it over it, and you'll put your name and an email address. There's going to be three locations that they're having the Saturday night event. The closest one to us will be at Friendly Avenue Baptist Church. There's a couple of other ones as well. The south side, there's one on the south side over at South Elm, Eugene. All these will be meeting simultaneously, but just to let you know, Friendly Avenue is the closest one to us. There will also be some breakout sessions. So it's a morning thing. It's Saturday morning from like 8 to 12. You'll get a chance to hear the missionaries. There'll be some breakout sessions that talk about how you can get missions started in your church, how you can be a viable part of it. And then on the 12th, we will actually have with us one of those missionaries that will be speaking here for us on October the 12th. I wish I had the paper. If you're interested in going, please let me know. I can get you squared away. Even if you call me, I can always scan the thing and put your information in there for you. So again, that's something that's coming up, a way that we can participate in mission endeavors and as well as what our very own association is doing along the way. Have I forgotten? I probably have. Pastor David, come on up. You can mention the park or the picnic or whatever, and then we will he'll dismiss us in prayer. Thank y'all for the extra time. Sometimes I get a little excited, and I appreciate you bearing with me.
Just one thing about the picnic, you need to sign up today. Today's the last day you can sign up. We'll have to buy food next week, so please sign up today if you plan to come. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Our Father, we're just so thankful for your love for us, God, for your mercy and your grace. God, you pour your mercy and grace out on us every day, afresh and anew. We just thank you and praise you for it. God, we pray that as we realize your mercy and grace for us, that we will take that mercy and grace and spread it to others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.